gentlemen, your attention, please.
Ma, the meatloaf!
Will you go out there and have some fun and have a few laughs, please? No, have fun first, and then have a few laughs.
These are exactly the kind of go-getters I want working on my EM50 project in Italy.
Oh, my gosh, that gave me a thrill.
Thank God it's
Friday.
Here's Pete and Andrea on 720 WGN.
I had no idea it was going to snow on Sunday, Darlis. Damn you. Damn it. Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We're here until 10 o'clock. We're going to talk mayoral candidates. Gary Chico is going to be stopping by at 7:35.
Yeah, lots going on with the race this week.
Bill Daley flew in Al Gore today. Does that work?
How about that? We'll find out.
Does it work?
We'll find out. I mean, if there's a lot of Al Gore supporters and fans, they might. I'm getting a lot of robocalls from Bill Daley's people. Are you?
Oh, I'm getting robocalls from everybody.
Me too, but the Bill Daley's have really stepped up this week.
I'm getting robocalls from the aldermans that are running.
Oh, I haven't gotten any of those yet.
Oh, yeah?
Just the mayoral candidates.
Mm.
I know.
Early voting started, right?
Yes, early voting is underway.
The I'm going to early vote. Always early vote. Love it.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I didn't early vote in an election.
I agree with you. And I early voted last time, and I went 2 days, 3 days before. So I went the Saturday before.
Mm-hmm.
The line at the library where I vote wrapped around the block, Pete.
Oh, it was crazy.
Not kidding you. Yeah.
Where do you early vote?
I early vote on the northwest side.
Okay.
And it's a library up there. I forget the name of it.
The last time I early voted, or in the last election, I went to the library at...
I know it's called the library, but I'm...
Wabanzia and Milwaukee, right on the corner there.
Is that the red brick one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I went.
Really?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm still learning the area. I've only been there 2 years now, so...
That is technically still... Bucktown because it's north of North Avenue.
Oh, no, then I didn't vote at that one.
Okay. Didn't. You grew up in Chicago.
I know, but I was South Side. I was South Side until about 2 years ago.
South Side.
Oh, I knew the South Side like the back of my hand. I'm still learning North Side.
We're going to talk pizza tonight, too. I mean, yes. Tomorrow is National Pizza Day. You're going to be eating pizza for National Pizza Day?
I love pizza. I could eat pizza every day.
I'm going to give it up for Lent because I've had pizza 3 times this week. It's over the top. My son plays in way too many basketball leagues. And any parent listening right now, you're running around your kids probably. My son has 2 games tomorrow. He's got a game on Sunday. We just run. So pizza is easy.
Do you pick up a pizza or does the team get pizza?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah. Team's going to have pizza after the second game tomorrow. We had pizza the other night. Yeah, it just never stops. I love it.
I do
Don't
too.
Get me wrong, but I eat too much of it.
I do too. Same thing.
But tonight we have Peace Pizza coming in at North and Damon.
Yeah, that's Bucktown.
Wicker Park because it is south of North Avenue.
Yeah, you're right. But I love Peace Pizza. I love how it's just this big rectangle.
Right. Well, it's kind of a weird... Well, Bill can explain it. Bill Jacobs is coming in and he can explain it and talk about it. Everybody has an opinion on pizza.
I know.
And ingredients and what you can't put. Like Ro and I and Anna were talking about tomatoes. Can't stand tomatoes on the pizza because it makes it too soggy.
I agree.
But I love tomatoes.
I like tomatoes and I like the sauce, but I don't want sliced tomatoes on top.
Right.
Isn't that weird?
I agree with you 100%.
And I like garlic. I'm Greek. But I don't like the extra garlic on the top.
Yeah. Do you like extra cheese on your pizza?
I do. Do you?
Sometimes. Just depends. Extra sauce. Some people like extra sauce.
See, I'm not an extra sauce fan. I'm less sauce.
Do you like sweet sauce?
I do.
Okay.
You too?
Not really.
Oh, no. You like the more tangy sauce?
I do. Yeah.
Ah, all right. And I know we're going to talk about this more, but what are your thoughts on more than one ingredient?
I think 3 is your cutoff.
I agree. I think just sausage
and
pepper.
Yes, 2 is perfect.
Yeah, but if 3, you want to put on the onions, yeah.
But you know, when you go supreme, it tastes so good when you have all those toppings on there.
Okay, is there any topping that you absolutely would not eat on pizza, like if olive or an anchovy?
No.
The only thing I will not eat on pizza is mushrooms.
God, I love mushrooms.
I know most people do.
I love it. Mushrooms don't taste like anything. Is it the texture? What is it with people and mushrooms?
I think they're just kind of slimy. I have a weird mushroom story.
They're dry.
But when they're on food, you know, not in a salad.
Yeah.
But when they're on a pizza or, you know,
they don't taste like anything. I don't get it.
They got that slimy.
It's the texture. You don't like it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's too bad.
That's my problem. But I love olives. Green olive, black olive. I'm
with you.
Love it.
People, it's the same thing with olives and mushrooms. It's the texture. They don't like it.
That's right. You know who hates olives? I mean, if you even say the word olive, he goes into just convulsions.
Who?
Dave Ennett.
What?
I'm telling you.
Really?
You can't even say olive. Like, if you bring a jar of olives into the room, he'll leave the room.
Ennett loves his martini.
Yes, he does.
So he doesn't like the olive in the martini.
He's going to be texting us.
He loves the booze.
Yeah.
So we're going to get more into that at 9 o'clock and talk pizza. And we're going to talk cybersecurity at 8:35 mm-hmm. because I received another email this week from a, what was the website? H-O-U-Z-Z, House.
Oh, House, yes.
What is that?
Oh, that's, if I'm thinking of the right site, it features, you know, cabinets and different, I think it's
okay.
People who own those kind of companies.
Well,
you know.
Apparently I purchased something from them because they were breached. So they sent me an email and they're like, go back in, change your password. I don't even remember my password.
Wow.
So that company was breached this week.
Uh-oh.
Got an email.
That's bad. A friend of mine who owns a cabinet company, CNR Custom Amish Cabinetry, we did a piece on them for House Smarts.
Okay.
They were featured on House. That's how I know what they are, because she said, have you ever heard of this? I said,
tell her to change
your
password.
I know. So they were
featured
their company on there.
Well, if we get hacked, we have companies that protect us, but who protects the companies?
Good question.
So we're going to have a guy in studio. His company protects the companies.
Oh,
today. Good. Yeah. And what we can do as individuals so we don't get hacked. How often do you change your passwords?
Not often at all. And do you use a variation of it, you know?
I used to use the same password for everything.
Right.
And years ago, I started changing it. And there is a technique I use that I won't forget from childhood. It's different things. I don't want to give it away.
Different things like from your childhood?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
That are connected, but they're not connected.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Okay. And then I'll do a jersey number after, because that's how I remember numbers. Jersey numbers.
So do you use a different jersey number for every password?
It depends if the password goes with the jersey
okay.
number.
Like football 34.
Right. Walter Payton, okay. Roland Harper's 35, Brian Piccolo 41, Gale Sayers 40. Gale Sayers 40, Brian Piccolo 41, Sid Luckman 42.
Okay. So you do have a system.
Right. Yeah.
I love that.
So we'll talk more about that at 8:35. And the auto show starts tomorrow.
Yes.
They get a peek tonight at First Look, mm-hmm. and we have a correspondent at First Look.
Awesome.
So we will talk to her coming up next. We don't have to check. I just did the morning show, and I know we check headlines at the bottom of the hour, so we don't do that. Okay.
We do not do that.
Thank you for
it's
doing
just,
the, just, let's go into a commercial, Pete. Yep, just shut your mouth.
Straight to commercial.
Okay. All right.
I have Purell for you here.
I love the auto show. I go every single year. It's fantastic.
Me too.
And I usually go to First Look, which happens tonight, but we're on the radio together.
We're here, yeah.
So
I'm going tomorrow.
Are you really?
I am. We're doing it for weekend break.
Oh, God, that's great.
Yeah.
So you'll be live tomorrow during the morning news?
Yes.
What time?
7:15.
I'll be awake.
7:45.
Okay.
8:15 and 8:45.
Are you going to head to the concept cars? Where are you going to go first?
I think, yeah, we're definitely going to do a segment with the concept cars. And then I usually look for the first hit. We call them hits.
Right, right.
For the first hit, as you
yeah.
know. I'll look for either like the Jeep or, you know, a bright colored car that I could sit
sure.
in and kind of be like, hey, we're the auto
And with
show.
The Jeep display that they have, they take it over the rugged mountains and they build the hills. And,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I like the Jeep.
So
display.
You're on tomorrow morning live on WGN Morning News.
Yes.
At what time? 7:15, 7:45?
8:15, 8:45.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
Every 15 minutes, I like that.
Every half hour.
Or every half hour.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. I can't put that together.
I love you.
All right.
Pete.
Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis, Allstate Skyline Studios at 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis, Allstate Skyline Studios, the auto show. People have a tradition of going to the auto show every single year, mm-hmm. and they do first look the night before it opens, and they have hundreds of different charities out there. This is a charity fundraiser that they have tonight. And joining us from First Look, she is the director at Select Marketing Group, which takes care of all the Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. It's Ellie Hillstrom, and I bet you have a long black dress on tonight. Ellie, is that right?
Oh my gosh, Pete, who told you?
Look at that. See? Well, it's black tie. Right. I just kind of assumed. I love First Look. I usually go every single year, and I go to the auto show probably two or three times because I love it. My son loves it, and I'm usually going with other people. But paint a picture for me. How is it? Is it different this year, or is it, well, of course, the new model cars? But paint a picture for me.
Yeah, so right here, right now, I'm actually standing in the South Hall at the Chevy Dealers Blackhawks Family Fun Zone. And just a quick shout out to all of my Chevy dealers in Chicagoland. We're number one best-selling brand for 8 years in a row in Chicagoland now. So very exciting. The show itself, though, is the largest auto show in North America. So if you think about that, you know, there's shows in pretty big cities like L.A., New York, even Detroit, and Chicago is the biggest one here.
It's enormous. Yes, it is enormous. Yeah. But you mentioned the Chevy display, Ellie. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you talked about the Blackhawks display there. Is that the interactive thing that Chevy usually has?
You bet. So right now, and throughout the whole week, again, the show goes through the 18th. The Blackhawks is such a great partner for us. They're activated here with family-friendly games, shoot the puck. They have a photo booth, and then they also have a very large Chicago-themed mural that you can win different prizes, kind of a Where's Waldo theme. I'm sorry, it's getting a little loud. The band's about to drop.
By the way, the band featuring our own Dan Hampton.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. It's Dan Hampton and the Chicago 6 85 Bears. Yeah, so you can hear that. But also, I wanted to make sure that you guys knew that Corey Crawford is actually here tonight in our display. Yeah, so his 1970 Chevy Chevelle is featured here at the show.
What?
And, he's giving away, or you can buy raffle tickets. And all the proceeds go to Blackhawks charities.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so you can enter to win, or you can buy raffle tickets to win that online or at the Chevy display here all week.
I love how some of the concept cars too, Ellie. I know those always seem to be a lot of fun at Chevy and all the other displays too.
Yes, lots of concept cars here this year. We've got a lot of more souped-up cars here in our display. Lingenfelder Group, Rick Bottom, and then Corey Polka, who designs our Chevy custom Blackhawk Camaro. That's featured here. Pretty much everything Blackhawk's going on here over in the Chevy display.
I love it. Ellie, we'll let you go because we can hear the band in the background. It's Hampton, Steve McMichael, and Otis Wilson. Yes. Ellie, thanks so much. We'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah, you know, if I can say really quickly before you guys let me go, I just wanted to give a huge congratulations to Race Car Kelly, one of our Chevy dealers, who's the auto show chairman. J.C. Phelan, who is the First Look for Charity chairman, and Gary Haggerty, our LMA president, and John Alferovich, who's Time Magazine Dealer of the Year. They're big part in making this auto show happen this year.
Love it. And say hello to your father, the godfather, okay? Say hello to Mike. All right. Thanks, Ellie.
All right, thanks so much, guys.
All right, remember, you can go to ChevyDriveChicago.com, Ellie Hillstrom. And by the way, they're giving away Corey Crawford's Chevelle.
Is that? Do you remember there was this guy that I dated in high school, and he had a Chevy Chevette. That's a Chevette, right?
Oh, yeah. The Chevelle, it's different.
I know, but
the Chevelle.
Yeah, that's a little step up from the Chevette.
It is a step up Chevette. A few years ago, they had the Chevy Nova. Remember guys used to fix up their Novas back in the day?
Oh, yes.
That was a big thing. Yeah.
We have an engineer here who was just telling a story last night when he was in high school. He had a Chevette, and he chinseled off the C-H-E, and he would go try and pick up girls and say, hey, do you want to check out my vet?
Oh, my gosh.
And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they got
us. Was that Adam? Who was it?
It was. Of course it was Adam. Yeah, I totally outed poor Adam.
That's so
He just told
funny.
Me that story last night.
Of course. Love it. The auto show kicks off for the general public starting tomorrow at 720 WGN.
Just over 2 weeks left until Chicagoans vote for mayor. There are signs front runners have finally begun to emerge in the chaotic field of candidates.
Tony Preckwinkle leads at 16%, with Daley at 14, and Gary Chico at 11. With Amara Inya, Lori Lightfoot, and Susanna Mendoza, all tied at 7%.
I didn't mean to scare him when I said he can change the weather. 14 people running for mayor of Chicago. He is now in the top three, according to CBS2. It is Gary Chico. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Good to be with you, Pete and Andrea. Thank
nice
you.
To be
you
here.
Know, it's interesting because you've ran for office before.
Yes.
And this has been an open field for mayor in Chicago, which hasn't happened in years.
Right. Until I ran last time in 2011.
Did you realize how grueling this election would be?
This is clearly a different one. There's a lot more candidates than there were in 2011. I think, you know, people got excited about the possibility of running for this office. And I think it's healthy. I think it's healthy for the citizens to have this array of choices. There's a lot of different people who come from different perspectives and offer different things in their candidacies. And it's a healthy thing for the city and the voters.
I'm curious, when you debate, now there's been many debates or forums, mayoral forums, is it difficult with so many people and you're getting a lot of the same questions? I know you're catering to different audiences, and you're on the north side, you're on the west side, you're on the south side, but is it difficult to try and get your message across and your point across with 14 other candidates at times? Sometimes there's fewer, which
well,
we
right,
now know.
Right.
Well, last night there were five, which was different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, for example, you'll be one of 14 and you get your minute response and you have to wait 15 minutes to the next question. You play golf?
Yeah.
It's like slow golf.
It is.
Okay?
When there's nothing
shot,
more frustrating.
You got to wait for a while.
Yeah, it's like hurry up and wait.
But, you know, you regardless of the field, you got to be disciplined and you know, listen to the question and answer it as competently as you can. So, I mean, even though there's a broad field, you still have to participate in this democracy. So I've been doing that. A lot of candidates have not been.
Right.
I think I've been to 25 forums, not including last night's. A lot of candidates take a pass on those things. And I can't make them all because we have voters and supporters who want to meet us in different venues. And so you try to do the best you can. But I think 25 is pretty competent attendance for that many forums. And I do enjoy them. I love talking with people. I love hearing the different questions from the different sponsoring organizations. Some people are into, like, we have an arts forum this weekend. Some people want to talk about disabilities. Others want to talk about their issues. And, you know, that's why I say it's healthy.
What's your favorite off-the-cuff question?
Oh, we had one 2 days ago.
Was it who would you vote for?
Yeah,
I like that one too. I think that was Anna DeVontis's question.
Was it?
Yeah, that'll make you look like a deer in headlights.
Yeah. Like, right, who would
what
you
was your
vote
answer?
For?
I think I said Amara Inya. I like her.
Yeah.
I like her. I like Lori Lightfoot, too. I mean, there's a number of, you know, you do this many forums and you're at this many things together. You form some camaraderie, you know.
Sure.
People get to know each other. You know, don't get me wrong. We'll throw a left hook and a right cross when the lights are on. But afterwards, you know, people are pretty respectful and decent to one another. And I think that's important.
Bill Daley has been bringing everyone to town today. He brought in Al Gore. You're a meat and potatoes guy. You're a Chicago guy. You have no entourage when you show up at the radio station. That's one of the platforms that you run on. You're a Chicago guy just like everybody else.
I'm a Chicago neighborhood guy who supports Dibs. Daley ought to bring himself to the forums.
There you go.
Let me say, I don't see, he's not there very much. And I don't know what kind of strategy this is, sit in your living room and phone
it
in.
Can we talk about Dibs for a second? Because there's tons of Dibs in my neighborhood, but one guy put a recliner in the street.
No. Yes.
I'm like, wait a second. I go, no, no.
What's wrong with
no, Dibs. Not the recliner. I could see the folding chair.
The vacuum.
I've seen the vacuum, but the recliner?
Ladder.
You draw the line at a recliner.
Yes.
How about a full dining room set with the table set?
Right. I love those. I'm telling you, we have a billboard, actually, Stories That Matter, and it's Dibs on our billboard.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. I was just in this very studio last weekend after I was in a debate at the Goose Island Brewery with some guy named Mike, and he and I were going at it.
Over Dibs.
I had pro-Dibs hat on.
Okay.
He had anti-Dibs hat on.
Please.
And the crowd was going nuts.
Right.
because this is a passionate issue.
But
I had a simple philosophy. You shovel it, you own it.
Right.
I mean, what's so bad about that?
At least for a month.
You get my vote just because of that right there.
I shovel
the street all the time.
I have to say, I grew up on the south and the south side, but when I moved to the north side, which was 20 years ago, I learned what dibs was for the very first time because I had two roommates, you know, we're 24 years old, shoveling out. All of a sudden, some guy pulls in our spot, and that's exactly when I thought, I support dibs.
Yes, of course. Yep. You have to support
dibs. You're a true Chicagoan when that happens.
Pat Daly, or Pat Brady, who is on this radio station a lot, he used to run the Republican Party, talked about your neighborhood plan the other day, how he is all for it. And can you explain that? Talk about that?
Well, I'll give you an example. So today, we're the issue du jour is Amazon's back in play, right?
Yeah.
Apparently, the Long Islanders and Amazon couldn't get it together, and now Amazon is back in play. So I see the governor wants it. I understand that. His job is to sell Illinois. My job as either a person running for mayor or if you become the mayor would be to sell Chicago. But I'd like to sell it in a different way. I am not opposed to Amazon, but I want Amazon to do some things for our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Okay, our neighborhoods. The Amazon Go stores are all the rage, right?
Right.
You know, cashierless purchasing.
Yeah.
Why can't we have six or seven of those in the neighborhoods of this city? West side, south side, southwest side, northwest side, number one. Number two, how about a fulfillment center? How about a place where we can actually put people to work right away who aren't going to necessarily be the professionals and the technical people who would be in the large operation they're talking about? I think we should have this conversation with them because we can't just have downtown-centric development.
Right.
We have to look to these neighborhoods. I want to bring the neighborhood commercial streets back. What's wrong with having a street that has vacancies right now with an Amazon Go store, a bakery, a coffee shop, a dress shop, a shirt shop? And by the way, we don't have to do miles at a time. We could start by doing 2-3 blocks. Let's bring it back to life. Keep the lights on. I'll give you something interesting to do. Go to Devon Avenue on any night of the week, but don't go till 11 p.m. And you watch that street come alive for a mile and a half. You'll see the lights on, people shopping, eating in restaurants, buying clothes, entertainment. I was blown away. I was there like three times, you know, in the last month. And I have always known that Devon Avenue had a pulse. But to see it three times in a row, this is a model for what we can make a large part of our commercial strips in Chicago that have gone dark and vacant. They don't have to be that way. We can bring this back.
I love that idea.
Why is that so difficult? It sounds so easy when you say it out loud.
Part of it is the rules that the city uses to provide incentive money to would-be entrepreneurs.
Right.
They want you to go out and produce financial statements, go get a bank loan, and then we'll reimburse you
the hoops.
Money.
You're right.
Who's going to do that? Yeah. I'd rather take an entrepreneur who's a startup business, take some risk, and let's see if we can make a go of it. We're going to lose some businesses where that's not the intent, but that's just the way nature is. You're going to lose some, but many are going to stick. And you're going to bring these streets back. The stores are going to be lit up. People will be working. They will be generating taxes, and they'll provide goods and services in the neighborhoods that today are vacant.
Darlis and I both live in the city, so we have a vested interest in this election.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm worried about crime. I'm worried about taxes. How about you?
I'm worried about, number one, taxes, property taxes, paying more. Things, just little things like going to a grocery store and having to pay 7 cents for a bag.
Well, you came to the right candidate.
Yep,
let me tell you.
Bottled water. I mean, truly, my grandma joked one time. She grew up on the South Side as well. She said, everything's going to be taxed except the air we breathe. And
well,
someday that's going to be taxed, too.
Other candidates in this race may be coming to that.
Yeah, so, I mean, enough with the taxes. Yeah,
look, I've run an entire campaign centered on the theme of no more bricks on the back of the working people in this city. They are not ATMs for us being lazy governors. We cannot do that. I want to look at a system of revenues for this city that is going to not first go into your pocket, but be creative. Today, I just announced a new idea on the west side of O'Hare Airport, not in Chicago, in the suburbs of this city. They want Western access to O'Hare Airport. I want to draw a boundary around, I don't know how big it'll be yet, but communities wide boundary and call that a special entertainment district.
I love that.
Where the city, because what's going to happen is, you know how Rosemont came alive on the east side of O'Hare?
Right, right.
You're going to have the same thing on the west side of O'Hare if we give them Western access.
Yeah.
That development should pay special fees. We could share it together, but the city of Chicago can make tens of millions of dollars to its treasury to deal with its ordinary bills and its pension costs. That's the way, and that doesn't hit our citizens one penny. That's the way we have to start thinking around here. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we sit among these large commercial office buildings. Many of them are not properly assessed. There's been a corrupt property tax system in this city for decades. People are getting away with a very large underassessment, which means that other people pick up that tab, mm-hmm. including the residents in our city out in the neighborhoods. That's going to stop if I'm mayor, and we're going to make those people pay what they need to pay. We're not raising their taxes. They're being fairly taxed.
Right.
So this is the way we have to look at things so that we don't start by going into the pockets of our residents. It's too harmful. People are leaving. We're the only large city in America where people are leaving.
Right.
We've lost 80,000 students.
It's true. We pay more to park in this city than in New York City.
That's not right. That's not right. This city has got to remain affordable. I'm going to fight. I'm good at this stuff. I'm going to fight to keep the costs in this city affordable. We cannot have people leaving. That cannot be our mantra.
Right.
We want people to come here, feel good, raise their families, have a few bucks left in their pocket. That's what I'm going to fight for. That's why I want to fight to be mayor of the city.
Gary Chico in studio with us. You brought up the pensions. We have a $300 million bill coming up next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about 2023 when we have to pay 300 plus more.
Yeah.
Next year, $300 million. Where do we get that money?
Well, let's say that it's $1 billion over the next 4 years. Keep it simple, right? 250, 250, 250, 250.
Right, right.
Let me put this in perspective for you. I've done 20 budgets in local governments and state governments. 20 budgets. I've never had an easy one. So this is not like this is like brand new. When Rahm Emanuel ran for mayor in 2011 and became the mayor, his budget deficit that he had to deal with in his first year was $650 million. This is $250 million. This is a chip shot. And I don't mean to belittle this and make such light of it.
Right.
But my point is, in context, this is not an insurmountable problem. The trick is raising that money without going into the pockets of our taxpayer and breaking their backs any further than they've already been broken. That's why I talked about these skyscrapers being properly assessed. That's why I've talked about a 1% tax on $1 million-plus home sales, generate $150 million. You get the assessments right on these skyscrapers, maybe that's another $150, $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
Longer term, I have the idea for the O'Hare Entertainment District. Longer term, I proposed a casino for Chicago. And in that casino legislation, I would propose temporary authority so that maybe we put it in an existing building and we get the money rolling quicker. I've also said that marijuana is coming. There are already bills being filed in the legislature.
Right.
Chicago has got to have its seat at the table to get its tax share. Between the casino at about $300 million, the tax share that we can get from marijuana, maybe $150 million. What am I up to so far? $600-700 million? We're almost there. And then we haven't gone into our pockets once.
You're right.
That was a referendum question, too.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about that, the referendum question about the marijuana, and if it were approved, money would go towards schools. And were these, and there was another one about term limits, too.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about term limits, too.
Yeah.
And are these referendum that we just voted on in the past election, are these binding or are these advisory?
Advisory.
Okay.
It's not too often that you get a binding referendum,
yeah.
But since you raised the subject,
yes,
there's a lot of corruption that we're talking about these days in the city, and it's wrong, and it's got to stop. How are you going to stop it? There's three measures I've proposed as a candidate to get to the root of the problem. The first one is ending aldermanic privilege. You cannot allow one alderman to decide the fate of a liquor license, a building permit.
It's crazy that we still have that in this city.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, we got it. It's alive and well. And it's at the heart of these cases that you're reading about every day.
Mm-hmm.
Some alderman was using their power, aldermanic privilege, to leverage something out of some constituent or developer. That's got to stop. Secondly, ban all outside income if you're an alderman. You take the income the city provides, about $120,000 a year, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, term limits. Whether it's two terms or three terms, I don't know. That's subject to discussion. If you do all three of those things, and you do them by binding referendum voted upon by the real bosses in this city, the voters and citizens of this city, it'll stick. Do you really expect the city council to do unto themselves these reform measures?
They will never do it.
Ain't going to happen.
Right.
Not going to happen. So what do? You take that out to the voters. Let the city council fly in the face of the voters and incur their wrath. I think this is something that could actually get it done. No other candidates proposed a vehicle to get this done.
I know we have to take a break, but to follow up on that, how do you propose, if you're elected mayor, how do you propose that to the city council and expect them to follow you after that or vote with you?
Well, I think there's a lot of people in the city council who realize the voters are hopping mad about this, and they're gonna run at their own risk if they don't bring these measures about with us. I mean, you can't ever go wrong, Pete. You can never go wrong being aligned with the people of this city. Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel.
Right. Gary Chico in studio. What's your website? People can check out your message.
ChicoForMayor.com, and I hope people will consider voting for me on February 26th. It'd be an honor.
By the way, I saw your TV commercial just last night, and I like how Chicago, you take the two letters, what is it, C-H, and it spells Chico somehow.
You like whatever. The way we did that?
Yeah, very good.
Good.
You got a good team. Gary Chico in studio. We have more coming up next on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis in the Allstate Skyline studio. Gary Chico is with us. He is running for mayor. You were the head of CPS for years. Why did President Clinton call your model a model that the nation should follow?
When we walked into the CPS in the mid-90s, it was in very, very bad shape. The finances were in shambles. There was projected to be a $1.3 billion budget deficit. The academic performance was very poor by the student body as a whole. They had to bury the test scores and releases on Friday evening, you know, like tonight, so that it would be buried in the Friday in this weekend papers.
Right.
The buildings were falling apart. The Sun-Times called them schools in ruins in a long series. And there was a tremendous strife between management and labor. In a matter of a couple of years, the team and I went to work. And we eliminated the deficit, turned it into a surplus. We spent $3.5 billion rebuilding the schools in this city, built 74 new schools, rehabbed another 300 so that children would have a proper place to go to school. The academic performance rose 6 years in a row, and we had 2 4-year labor agreements with our teachers that gave 8 years of peace, which is probably the longest stretch we've had in a while.
Right.
That's why the president called it a model for the nation. But guess what? We have to do it again. This doesn't end. This is not like, oh, great, I'm done. I'm in the end zone. I'm dancing. It has to happen again. Things change. Circumstances change. Your demographics change. What I'm proposing now, Pete, is the largest expansion in the history of the city in vocational and technical education. Why? People need to have jobs at the time. They have to be job ready by the time they're graduating high school. We have such needs today. Our trades, as we're sitting here, need workers. They need skilled trades workers, and they don't have enough of them. Secondly, they don't have enough minority skilled trade workers, especially African Americans. We can change that and make that better through creating trade school campuses around our city. We can actually have the trades working side by side with our instructors in CPS and have students with certificates of apprenticeship ready to go into the trades at the end of high school. I also want to expand the International Baccalaureate program from what we brought, what was one site when I got there in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
Today it's 50. I want to take it to 150 sites. Why? The parents of this city are demanding excellent education options no matter where they live. We can do this again.
I know we're running out of time. Two questions. Is the city council too big? Would you make it smaller? And then I want to ask you about the police department as well and how we can help our men and women in blue.
I'm more concerned about the city council being properly regulated, if you will. I don't want aldermanic privilege. I don't want on-site income. And I don't want people sitting there forever. I think that's the proper place to put our emphasis, not the size. Can you imagine if we go from 50 to 15 and we don't eliminate those powers, we'll create 15 more powerful people.
Right.
That won't help us.
Right.
You asked about the police department.
And I did ask, about the police department. Would you put more police on the streets, more sergeants, more lieutenants?
I think we need to do several other things first. Number one, I want the right leadership at the top of the police department, somebody who shares my values and the city's values about community policing. That's gone away, and that's wrong. That's got to come back so we build trust and a working relationship between the communities and the police department. Secondly, I want to get rid of the guns on this street. Is that going to be easy? Absolutely not. We are being flooded by illegal guns, a lot of them coming from over the borders in Indiana and Wisconsin. We'll reach our hands out and try to work with Indiana first, but if we can't get them to work with us, we may have to consider a federal lawsuit, because these guns are easily coming over the border, mm-hmm. being used in shootings and murders in Chicago. We have to stop that. And then finally, let's realize you can't police your way out of this. This is a human problem. We have people who have not been on the right path, have lost their way. They're in gangs. They're homeless. They're ex-offenders. They need a second chance. This city has a heart, and we ought to step up to the plate. I've proposed a $50 million investment working with groups like Safe Haven, Heartland Alliance, CRED, the Safer Foundation, right. that will employ people, take them out of gangs. If you're an ex-offender, give you a second chance, and if you're homeless, we'll give you a chance to work. And what we're seeing right now from these organizations is people are responding. Hundreds of people are now being employed instead of being in gangs on the street and homeless. We can get this done.
Gary Chico, thank you for coming in. You got 30 seconds to plead your case to get their vote.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to make sure that everybody pays their fair share of taxes, starting with these office skyscrapers downtown. Look, I grew up in the streets and the neighborhoods of this city. I know this city. I want to turn this city around and make it what we all want it to be, a wonderful place. And finally, I want everybody in this city to have a shot at success the way I did. And I'm humbly asking the people of this city for their support so that I can be their voice in the city and with the city council on February 26th.
Gary Chico, thank you for coming in on a Friday night.
Thank
you. I appreciate
it. Nice to be with you both. Thank you,
Gary.
It's 720 WGN. The reason I'm playing this song is because this is what I'm going to be dancing to in Dancing with a Chicago Celebrity.
Oh, I can't wait to see. I saw your video online mm-hmm. of you practicing.
Yes.
I'm excited for you.
Mary Vandeveld and I were dancing the other day during the Cochran Show.
I saw that, too. Mm-hmm. That was just a little video, though, a gif.
Yes.
But I saw you posted your rehearsal online.
I'm taking lessons at Arthur Murray Dance Studios in Lakeview. Danny Adkins is my teacher. And I have to tell you, she is so good. She's so damn good. She leads, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Like they do on Dancing with the Stars on TV.
Are you pretty good?
I'm learning.
You're pretty good.
Two questions they asked right away. Number one, what dancer would you model yourself after? Think about that.
On Dancing with the Stars?
No, just anybody in general. Anybody. Cochran made fun of me when
Marge
I told him.
Marge Simpson? I don't know. No, that'd be me. Not you.
Gene Kelly?
Oh, no. I don't have good dancers.
Ginger?
No.
Ginger Rogers?
No. I really like Derek Hough.
Okay.
You should
have said
him.
I went old school and I said Danny Kaye because Danny is the triple threat. He could sing, he could dance, and he could do comedy.
Yeah, he can act.
He was great.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. So I said Danny Kaye.
Okay.
And then they asked you what dance you want to do for Dancing with the Chicago Celebrity.
What did you pick?
I said, I want to dance like Al Pacino in Son of a Woman, the tango.
I love the tango. I could never dance the tango, but I love watching the tango.
So we are
beautiful dance.
We are practicing the tango.
Now, is that the dance where she kind of kicks between your legs?
The tango is very sharp moves.
Yeah.
So you're moving, you're turning your head very quickly.
Right. Do you have a rose in your mouth?
I don't, but we haven't got to that part yet.
Okay.
So it's been 2 weeks. I've almost learned the entire dance. We danced for 90 seconds. I've only learned 50 seconds of the dance in 2 weeks.
That's how long the routine is? 90 seconds?
90 seconds.
Oh, my God.
I thought 90 seconds, a piece of cake.
I thought
I could do that.
How long are they on Dancing with the Stars? Like 2 minutes?
I think so, yeah.
3 minutes?
But they do multiple dances. We only have to learn one. It's one night on March 8th at the Hyatt Downtown.
I'm going
to
donate to you because I have do you accept donations for your charity?
Of course. That's what I was going to get to. The reason that they do this, they started this 14 years ago, Dancing with the Chicago Celebrity. Jill DeMarlo, who owns Arthur Murray here in Chicago, started this to raise money for breast cancer. Okay. They've raised over $2.5 million to fight against breast cancer. They have their own 501c3. All the money stays in Chicago.
Okay.
$2.5 million in 14 years. It's so impressive. So if you go to my Facebook page...
You're not close to your goal here.
Well,
I
just,
need to help you with this.
I just started last week.
All right. We got to get you up to your goal.
My goal is $10,000.
You've raised $1,600.
$1,600 so far.
That's 17%.
I have a month left.
Okay. By the end of the show, maybe we can get you up to half.
Well,
half your goal.
I said, everyone listening, all I need is $2. If I get 5,000 people to donate $2, we're good. Everything's tax deductible.
Does this all go toward breast cancer research?
All of it. Every cent.
I'm going to donate $100 to you right now.
And the reason that I'm so passionate about this is, number one, 1 in 8 women are diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yes.
Number two, my sister is a breast cancer survivor, my sister Mary.
Yes.
Because of organizations like this.
I know so many breast cancer survivors. Those who unfortunately did not survive.
Right.
It is near and dear to my heart. I bet everybody knows someone affected or touched by breast
everybody
cancer.
Has a story.
Yep.
They do. Trust me. I've heard them.
I'm so glad you're doing this.
I mean, it's fun to learn a dance, but the raising money part is the hard part. Asking people for money. And again, it's tax deductible. Just go to my Facebook page, or you can type in tinyurl.com/Team Pete.
Okay, gotcha. Or it's Dancing with the Chicago Celebrities, and then I can click on you, and here's your picture with this is your partner? Your partner's adorable.
Danny, she's the best.
She is so cute. She's so a lot good. Shorter than you. Is that a problem? Oh, she'll be in heels, though.
She'll be in heels. She can dance in heels. I'm telling you, I thought it was so easy. I'm like, I got this. And then we got to the fourth lesson. I'm like, oh my God, I got to practice.
Isn't it really hard on
it's
your body?
It's hard. Just the way that you're in, you got to count, you know, she's moving. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Everything's an 8. Yes. So you got to count. You got to move. You can't screw up.
That's going to be hard for her, not because of you, just to teach in general, to teach somebody else how to dance. And basically, she's teaching you backwards.
Right. She is. And I asked her about that. I go, how do you figure this out? How do you figure out a routine? And she goes, well, once we pick out the song and the dance that we're going to do, I do an outline and add things how you're learning. So if you're a quick learner, I'll add some more things to the dance.
And this is your song?
This is the song that we're going to be dancing to. So I'm dressing as James Bond.
In a tux?
In a white tux jacket, black pants, black tie.
Bow tie or long tie?
Come on.
Bow tie.
Bow tie.
Okay.
Come on. It's James Bond we're talking about.
God, I want to go watch you. I want to watch you dance.
So I was on Windy City Live 2 weeks ago. Val Warner won Dancing with a Chicago Celebrity.
Did you last year? Or?
A few years ago.
Okay.
So I go, Val, it's all about attitude. And she said, that's it. I mean, if you can just move around the dance floor, it's about attitude and smiling and facial expressions.
Very cool.
I got this.
You totally have this.
This is a piece of cake.
And plus, you're pretty fit. You know, you work out.
It doesn't matter if you're fit. No, you got to have rhythm.
I think that does. You have to be a little bit in shape because...
Yes, you do.
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm okay shape, but there's no way I would have these moves.
You can do it.
Oh, I'd be terrible.
You can do it.
And heels, too? That'd be so hard.
That would be tough.
That's the hard part.
Right.
See, women have it harder.
I guess you're right. You do.
I hope you do well. I'm going to give you $100. I really hope everybody...
Well, thank you for that.
I hope everybody listening will donate, because this is a wonderful cause, and you are just... You're taking it the extra step. You're not only raising money, but you're...
$10,000 is a lot of money.
You're having to learn the tango.
The tango. Al Pacino, Son of a Woman. Pete McMurray on Facebook, MCMURRAY. It's right on the top. If not, just scroll down a little bit. It should be there.
And your picture's right here. It's a nice picture, by the way.
Yeah, me and Danny, right?
You guys are great.
Very, very nice. All the information about the charity is right there once you click, and it's all tax deductible. So Dancing with the Chicago Celebrity, Arthur Murray Dance Studios in Lakeview. Thank you very much. And Danny and I are going to be on John Williams' show on Tuesday.
Cool. Are you going to do a preview of the dance? A couple of steps?
Possibly.
I think you should.
I got to practice over the weekend. All right.
Well, your little gift with Mary Vandeville was very good.
Thank you very much.
Good.
It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis in the Allstate Skyline Studios. After the 8:30 news, we're going to talk about being hacked. John Haney's going to come in from Access One and tell us we're doing everything wrong and we need to change our passwords.
And use it in different variations,
but
not the same one.
As individuals, we have companies that help us. Who help the companies? That's where John's company comes in. And he's going to help us. He's going to hold us, hold our hands and
help us be safe.
Has your phone updated? Do you have the new emojis? Because I don't. Everyone's talking about them.
I do have some new emojis, but let me see. Now that, yeah, I do have all the new emojis.
I have nothing.
Some guy turned green. There's a guy with a cowboy hat, a clown, a scary clown.
So you've worked in TV, radio. You've had different email addresses, right?
Well, I've had the same one here
at WGN Radio.
At WGN for 20 years.
I've had a few different email addresses, and I deleted on a very old email account. I lost half my contacts.
Was it your Hotmail?
I backed up my phone. No, it wasn't Hotmail. I broke up with Hotmail years ago. But I deleted the account, and suddenly my contacts are gone.
No.
Yeah. So I'm getting text messages, and what do you say to people? Because people get so upset.
I know, when you don't know who it is.
And I try to be nice. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I lost half my contacts. Can you remind me who this is?
I know.
And people get upset.
People
what do you
get
mean
upset?
You lost your contacts?
I know. People.
You should know who I am.
I feel so bad. I have a phone number, and I'm telling this on the air, and I hope he's not listening. Or she. I went to school in Champaign at University of Illinois. So
right.
The area code down there is 217.
Yep.
So every now and again, I'll get, and I've had my same phone number for a very long time, probably 15 years. And I will get a text from this 217 person. I don't know who it is. At some point, I must have switched or whatnot, but it's like,
oh,
hey,
boy.
I'm coming in town. You know, hey, how, you know, so this person clearly knows me, and I know it's someone from college, but I don't know who it is.
Do you just leave it blank? You don't respond?
No, I respond, hey, how's it going?
You can't. Either you don't respond or say, hey, I lost my contacts. You got to help me who this
is. It's gone too far now, though. It would be so weird if I said, who is this? And I've been having this conversation with this person for months.
No one memorizes numbers anymore.
I know.
Nobody.
I know.
That's the first thing we made our son Charlie memorize is both our numbers.
His phone number.
His mother's number and my number.
And yours.
Yeah, and Uncle Dave.
Do you know what's funny or ironic? Bringing it back to the mayoral form, Tony Preckwinkle is proposing that when someone is arrested, they get three phone calls. So, and my first thought was,
okay,
I don't know anybody's number by heart. I mean, my mom, people I love and know, I think maybe I know two phone numbers.
Trying to think the last time I got arrested, who I called.
Not that I'm going to get arrested. It just made me think about
what
you're saying.
So if you get arrested, you can't look in your phone and call somebody?
Well, don't
they
confiscate your phone?
I know, but hey, can I look up a phone number?
I don't think so.
What do you do?
No, you're in jail. You can't do that. I don't think.
God, I never really thought about
that. I'll ask someone who knows.
Wow. Have you ever been arrested?
No. Have you?
I have, yes.
Wait, I know this story. What did you do?
I've been arrested a few times, but the last time was back in the 80s.
I think you told the story on the
Because year. I went to get a global pass, you know, the TSA pre-check,
yeah, you
and I
did.
Went, drove out to O'Hare, I'm getting my global pass, we're going to Mexico.
I know
and when you
story.
Get out there, they love just beating people down there.
Uh-huh.
They love it. And I get up there and they're like, have you been arrested? I go, not that I can think of. And she said, how about 1987 in DeKalb? I go, oh, yeah, but that was fine.
I mean, nothing happened. I was in college.
She said, well, there's no ruling on your record. We can't give you a global pass.
No.
So I had to call up the courthouse, and they had to fax over to the people that it was community service. Yeah.
Do you get community service? Did you get your record expunged?
I thought I did back in the day. Apparently it hasn't, but the ruling finally went on my record in DeKalb.
Okay, yeah. So are you still on probation or
I don't know how that works.
Do you have to check that box when you apply for a job?
Well, one of my best friends was the state's attorney in Rockford. I'm like, can we make sure that this is expunged?
Right. Can we make a deal?
Yes. So if you've ever been arrested, yes, this is what I now that I'm a parent, it feels like you can start over morally.
Yes.
And say, hey, listen, kid, don't get arrested. You got to be careful because it's going to come back to haunt you. And this is a perfect example last year when I went to get the global pass.
It's coming back to haunt you 30 years later.
God, have you ever been out there in O'Hare to get a global pass?
No, I've been to... No, I did TSA pre-check, but I just went to a place on the north side.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah.
Normal place.
I don't have the global entry.
When you go to the global entry place, it's at the international terminal. It's like in a... And you have to walk downstairs, and there's, it's like you're in a prison. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing.
Terminal 5, right?
And then you sit there, and they call your name, and you walk to a back room. It's like you're being questioned, and they're going through your records. It's a weird vibe, man.
Are you someone, when you travel, do you get wanded? Are you the guy that always gets stopped?
Not anymore. I used to.
You did.
But now I have the pass. I'm good.
Now you shaved your beard. You're all good.
What are you saying?
I don't know. I just see you as being... I have a friend who is the same thing. She gets stopped
every time. Even with the Irish last name, I'm Lebanese. Mm-hmm. And yes, I used to get stopped all the time. Yeah. But TSA pre-check, you're good. You don't have to take off your shoes. The whole deal. Which is nice.
I still get wanded through TSA pre-check.
Do you?
I just came back from Mexico 2 weeks ago.
Well, that's the international, right?
Oh, yeah, that is.
That's why you need the global pass. You don't have to do that.
Yeah, you're right. I should.
Yeah. Let me drive you out to O'Hare, that weird, creepy basement international terminal.
See what I can find on my record.
God, it's so weird. All right, 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis in the Allstate Skyline Studios. When we as individuals get hacked, we have a business to help us. But who helps these businesses when they get hacked? Joining us in studio from Access One is John Haney. It's great to see you again, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pete.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was telling Darlis before news, Andrea Darlis, that someone used my social security number 5 years ago. Now I have to use a PIN. And it's just, when people get breached or hacked or identity stolen, it takes forever, doesn't it?
It does. When that personal information is leaked, it's kind of out there forever. I mean, you're still using that PIN today, right?
Oh, yeah. Every single year, I got to look it up.
What is it?
I don't even remember.
This is how the breaches happen. Yes.
I wish it was a football score. I wish you could do your own.
I know.
Right. Yeah. First of all, what is Access One, John? So,
Access One provides technology services to businesses. We kind of drop it into three verticals. So data and internet access, cloud-hosted phone systems, which are basically phone systems that integrate with your cell phone, Microsoft Outlook, whatever applications you use for your business.
Okay.
And then also managed IT services, including security.
I got an email this week from Houzz, H-O-U-Z-Z. Right. They were compromised.
Yes.
And they sent me an email and said, change your password. And I don't even remember buying anything from the website, but apparently I did since I got the email.
So I haven't seen any reports of the cause of the Houzz attack.
Okay.
But I did see that there wasn't financial information leaked, just passwords. So as long as you're keeping separate passwords for each of your applications and accounts, you're probably okay.
I told you, this is where we're going to get. We're going to get yelled at.
I heard it before the break, but it's great advice.
FIDO 1234.
Oh, jeez.
Right?
Equifax, when was that? 4 years ago?
Just a couple years ago.
Okay, 40 to 50 million people breached. Yahoo was over 3 billion.
Right.
I mean, if these companies can't protect themselves, how can you protect other companies?
So I think that this is one of those issues where as you get larger, it actually becomes more difficult to have adequate protection because as your operation grows, you have exponentially more points of attack for people to come after.
Oh, okay.
So with these two hacks, they were very simple things. I think everyone wants to think that Vladimir Putin is sitting in the shadows personally hacking into your business.
We all think, or China.
It's never that case. It's almost never that case, right?
Right.
What it typically is something very simple. So in the case of the Equifax hack, that was just software that ran an application that they used that had not been patched. The software patch was out there and available. It just hadn't been applied, which should have been a regular part of their security protocol and was not. With the Yahoo account, that was what we call a spear phishing attack. Email is the gateway to all fraud.
Really?
Someone externally emailed someone at Yahoo and asked for their login. No.
That's it?
Yeah, it's that simple.
Oh my God.
It's not a complex thing. Most of this starts with email. It's the gateway drug to significant fraud.
Right.
Right? And then you have human beings. So we talk about the human firewall, and that's educating your staff on how to avoid simple causes of fraud because that's the most simple cause.
Right. I mean, Access One dealing with so many companies. I mean, you probably hear this every single day. Someone opened an email, you got to come over and help us, or what can you do?
We do. We hear it all the time. And, you know, that's the thing that we recommend is, you know, you need to get out in front of this, because if you're waiting until after you've been attacked to have someone look at your digital security profile and make sure that you're hardened against even these simple attacks, then it's already too late. I mean, you're asking someone to put Humpty Dumpty back together again.
Right.
Well, just don't put Humpty Dumpty on the wall.
So when I get an email from Pete and it says, hello, and then there's a broken link and there's all these misspellings and it says, click here. And obviously you shouldn't, but it came from, say, Facebook or Twitter.
No.
First thing you have to do is change your password. Do you have to change your password for everything then?
So first off, you need to just never click links
that
come through. If you see anything come through, particularly anything that comes through from, you know, with a financial institution or anything like that, if you have any questions, just type the URL.
Yeah, go to their website.
Exactly.
Go to their website. Call the number on the back of your credit card.
Right.
Don't believe anything that you read in that context. In terms of changing your passwords, if you're hacked from one account, it depends on whether or not you're keeping separate passwords for each of your accounts. If they're breached and you're going on regularly accessible
accounts. We're
going
to get yelled at. Don't worry.
You know, if your Facebook password and your Bank of America password are the same, not great security practice.
Okay, let me.
If you are a business.
Stand by. Let me go online.
You work at Access One. John Haney in studio with us. If you are a business like Access One and you're protecting other businesses, you have to have the best of the best or just crazy guys working for you.
Yeah.
We have some incredible guys, some very, very smart
guys. They have to
guys.
Know everything.
They've seen a lot, and it's one of those things where, you know, they see new attacks, new threats, and new things come in on a daily basis.
Right.
So we hire great people, and then they continually get better.
Wow. I mean, do you guys have a meeting once a week and they tell you this is the new thing?
Oh my God, this I wish it was once a week.
I'm sorry, I'm going old school.
Two times a day?
Right.
It's frequent. We see a lot of these attacks.
Wow.
Should you really, though, have a different password for every single account that you have?
Yes!
Yes.
Okay, but if you can't remember it, you can't store it
How
in your phone.
How about the same word and do different numbers, and symbols at the end?
So like Pete 1, Pete 2, Pete 3.
That is also not a good
That's
idea.
That's bad
okay,
idea.
See?
Bad idea.
Don't use your name. Don't use your child's name.
Now you're getting ahead
don't
of ourselves.
Use your pet's name,
right,
don't use your
right.
Right, the street you
Easily
grew up on because they can Google that now. Before we get to the individual, now if there's people that own companies, there's a lot of small businesses out there. You do medium and small, is that right?
That's
small
right.
or medium?
Yes.
Okay. What can they immediately do right now?
So in terms of things that they can immediately do, it's really very simple. So number one, you need to be consulting with an expert on your security and the security for your business. Right.
Now, this is not how come that's not the first thing anybody does when they start a business? Because I feel like that would be the number one threat.
Mm-hmm. At this point, it absolutely should be, because it is such an easy trap to fall into, and it's so easily avoidable, and it's not that expensive to avoid it. I mean, you talk about the very simple things. Patching, email security, password standards, encrypt your laptop hard drives. I mean, you're spending, you know, tens of dollars per employee, not thousands, and you're secured against, you know, the major types of threats. The types of things that took Equifax and Yahoo down.
That's crazy.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. Anything else that they should be working on?
So the number one thing you can do after these basic prevention steps is what's your recovery policy going to be? And so most of that wraps into what your disaster recovery policy is. And so what we do for our customers is we'll do on-site DR, and then we do cloud-based disaster recovery as well.
Oh, the cloud.
Right? So you can pull back your records from both spots.
Now, when he says the cloud, do you get the visual of this big cloud in the air and a bunch of data
in
it? Yes.
Don't you?
I do, absolutely.
So, I'm thinking all my pictures.
that the cloud is just someone else's computer, and that literally is what it is.
So it really is.
You go to these data centers, and you see just stacks and racks of servers, so it's fantastic marketing, the word the cloud.
It's so much prettier in my world.
It is.
It's a computer that's not at your location.
Who is guarding the cloud?
Yeah.
The cloud is well guarded and it is very spread out. So that's one of the great things about the cloud is that it is fully survivable. I mean, you have servers in one location and then an entirely separate geography that are simultaneously running the same application and information that you're using. So the odds of loss are extremely low when you're using cloud applications.
That's a great question, Pete.
This is crazy.
Who guards
it the really
cloud?
Is. Yeah. John Haney in studio with us from Access One. So I think it's interesting. If you're a small business owner or a medium-sized business, you should get an expert ready. And I understand that you should protect yourself. But what you brought up is what happens afterwards. These are the steps. No one thinks like that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's good stuff.
So yeah, those steps are critical. And then, one thing that I'm seeing more and more of is you find these data breaches that are discovered 3-4 years after the original point of intrusion.
Oh no.
So there are more and more sophisticated applications that are now correlating what we call log files that are really just records of transactions on your computers. So it will correlate and say, I saw this happen on this computer and this happen on your firewall later. When I see these two things, it's an indicator of fraud. So now you're taking multi-point analyses of what's going on your network to understand that you've been hacked, because the best hacks are the ones that you don't even know have happened.
Oh, see? Man. Have you walked into a new business, a new account, and said, you were hacked, you were breached years ago?
We have seen a couple of these come up. Yeah. They're ugly situations. The biggest problem in a lot of those cases is that, it'll be a very sophisticated virus that they will have had, and it will self-replicate. So when you clean up a computer, if it's still on their network, it will repopulate to that from another computer immediately. So then you have questions of, now I've got to take everything down. So when is a good time to entirely shut down your business?
And does anything ever really go away when you delete or when you...
Yes.
Okay, it does.
So
that's a good thing.
There are, there are companies.
Not
that,
naked pictures, no. Which we talked about earlier.
not
if it's naked
in the cloud.
Pictures stay forever.
Once they get to the cloud, they go away forever. But there are some viruses that you can get rid of, and some you can't. But these computer viruses, anyway, they can be eliminated. Okay. And you see some companies. There's a company that we use for underlying software called Webroot, and they do a great job of eradicating these viruses. So you can get them off of your network. It's just difficult, and a lot of times hard to even detect that they're there.
Wow.
I'm going to take a break, and we're going to talk individuals.
Okay.
And you can yell at Andrea.
Okay.
I have different passwords.
Right.
I do. But I want to ask about the
I do too now.
Is it what is that thing on your phone that you can keep all your passwords in? We'll talk about that too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to give it away. John Haney's here from Access One. What's the website people can check out?
www.accessoneinc.com.
And if you have a question, 312-981-7200, our phone number, also our text line. WGN, Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis in studio is John Haney from Access One. We talked about how you're a business that protects businesses. How can an individual protect themselves? Let's start with passwords, and you can yell at Andrea Darlis. What can we as individuals do to protect ourselves?
So as individuals, it really does start with passwords and good password security.
It's very basic, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
So that, never trust email. That's where a lot of these frauds start. I mean, that's the number one way to get hacked is to click on the wrong thing or start communicating with someone who is not who they're representing themselves to be.
Right. I want to get to some of these text messages. 847 area code, same password for everything, but in between the words and numbers is the site business name. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So they have the same password and number for everything, but they just put the business in the middle? Ridiculous.
So yeah, I'm never gonna give the seal of approval to anything that starts with same password.
What if you capitalize the letter? No, I'm kidding.
Well, if you capitalize a letter and you use different letters and then different symbols and numbers, then I would approve that for sure.
What about the thing in your phone that keeps the passwords? What is that called? You know what I'm talking about? I wish I had
the
thumbprint?
Not password protector, but I know what you're talking about.
You can put all your passwords under one app. But I'm always nervous that if someone hacks that app, I'm done.
So I have the same concern about that, and especially when it's
Keeper.
When it's driven
okay.
by,
yeah.
by a commonly used app like that, because if I was someone who is interested in hacking someone for benefit,
right,
that would be one of the very first things,
well, of course,
that I would target. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. So right. I think that you're better off to have, you know, passwords that are memorable to you, but unique enough that no one else would know them.
Where do you keep your passwords? Do you write them down? Do you keep them out of your house? Do you put them in code somewhere? Because there's so many websites now.
Right.
It's hard to remember everything.
There are a million, and they all want a separate password.
Right.
So a lot of those you can have stored in your browser separately for non-critical items. I would not store anything that went to your financial institutions or anything like that within your browser window.
No.
And those, honestly, I think that probably the safest place to store those is written down somewhere that you would know.
Right.
But you're going to hide it, and then you're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Definitely.
If you can't get in, no one else can either, Pete.
Where did I hide my passwords?
Right?
There's somewhere.
You know, there is a benefit. A lot of your financial institutions are onto this, and you don't actually hear about user accounts getting hacked very often there, because they use something called two-factor authentication.
Okay.
Which is when they see a login come from you, they say, okay, what IP address is this login coming from? And if they don't recognize it, they'll say, okay, well, I don't know what you're logging in from. I'm going to send you a text message.
Oh, yeah, I get that all the time.
I put in.
Yes.
So that's one way that the people that you do business with can add a layer of security to your account.
Okay, I like that. 630 area code. Can someone hack a plain old flip phone? A flip phone, a burner phone.
So there.
Why would you want to hack it? There's nothing on there.
Yeah,
there's not much on there. There are ways that you could create international toll fraud by hacking a flip phone. But I don't think anyone would do that. It's just a huge amount of effort for a low amount of benefit, typically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, John Haney from Access One in studio with us. How safe are the routers given to us by our ISPs? I have a router from my ISP that was designed a dozen years ago. I've had it 3 years.
So if the router is if it's within its support window and it's properly patched, I think it's a low risk proposition in most cases. I would think it's probably a relatively trustworthy device.
I always hate, no matter what I buy, I do a lot of online shopping. You have to give your email address and your address.
Yep.
I hate when they ask for my phone number. But more often than not, I'm noticing that you have to give a number now.
Right.
Why?
So that they can text you things for two-factor authentication,
so
or keep track of you that
okay,
way.
Okay, so it's just good. A way to stay...
Who cares if they have your number? Is that a big deal?
Yeah, I guess, except I just don't want solicitations or...
I'm the same way. It's the marketing call
that
I want to avoid. But if it provides an additional layer of security, then I'm okay with
it. Just don't answer it like you do when I call you.
Come on, Pete. I pick up every time.
Oh, McMurray. Straight to voicemail.
This is a great one. 630 area code. I received a spam email that said they watch my every move. Deposit money into my Bitcoin account or else. I've received 1,000 of those. Just delete it, right?
Yes.
They're not watching you.
It's complete garbage.
They're not watching you.
Not at all. Is there anything an individual can do besides the password to protect themselves?
So really, I think that one of the main problems that individuals have is that their data is most at risk at businesses that they've done business with, and it's outside of their control at that point. Right.
Yeah.
So once your data is stored somewhere else, you have to rely upon the security measures taken by that company. So I would say, like anything else, make sure that you have some level of trust in the people that you are doing business with, right? If something doesn't feel right, just go ahead and buy it on Amazon or somewhere that you
can. God, that's so true. If it doesn't feel right, it's not right, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I've always heard that. John Haney, Access One, thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks, Pete. I appreciate it.
Are you going out clubbing right now? What do you do on a Friday night?
Yeah, that's the next thing. You know, just hit the clubs. I'll bring the 8-year-old, the 6-year-old, and the 4-year-old with
him. Yeah, that's right. He's got 7, 8 kids.
Oh, my God. Wait, you have 3
nice.
Kids?
I do have 3
kids.
Oh,
that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Right. Tell your wife I said hello.
Will
thanks
do.
For coming
say
in.
Hi.
All right, it's 720 WGN.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis, in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Pizza Pie! In studio with us, the owner of Peace Pizza in Wicker Park. It is Bill Jacobs. who ran down the street to get here. You are sweating. You used to be a marathon runner. This is okay.
It's okay. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've run, but I went to your old studio. It's not looking too good over there.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No.
My fault.
Oh, yes. No.
Yep.
Uh-oh. Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I got a good workout.
Wow.
Yep.
Tomorrow's your day. It's your Super Bowl.
It sure is.
I mean, what happens on National Pizza Day? How do you celebrate for a guy that celebrates pizza every day?
It's become huge. Yeah. I think that National Pizza Day may just take over being more popular than Thanksgiving or July 4th. You know?
It could. It absolutely could.
I mean, tomorrow I'm going to eat pizza.
Yes.
I think a lot of people are planning on eating pizza. How do you celebrate? Do you do more than
pizza.
Three? Do you do more than three toppings?
No. Really? Not on our pizza, because our pizza is thin crust, New Haven style. It's all about being able to taste the different flavors and not pile on too much, because it's more subtle.
Well, Bill, explain what New Haven is, because you don't have a circular pizza, even though your logo piece is the peace sign in the circle.
A little oblong in shape. Every pizza is hand-formed. So you don't know what the shape's going to be. We try to make it a circular, but invariably it'll come out oblong. And they're served on long sheet trays.
Right. Yes. And you grew up with this. You grew up on the East Coast, but you've lived in Chicago forever.
Forever.
But tell me about the pizza that you grew up in.
So New Haven is known for its great thin crust pizza. I grew up in New Haven, went to school there. My three brothers, my folks, and we grew up eating this great pizza in New Haven. New Haven has the highest percentage of Italians per capita in the whole country, and has forever.
What?
So
really?
They brought this beautiful pizza, which has its origins on the Amalfi Coast, and
beautiful.
You know, it's fantastic. Every pizza, as I said, is made by hand.
Yep.
Has a nice chew to it, a nice crunch to it. And it's just fantastic. And
I love a good thin crust. I love your pizza.
Thank you.
Oh, it's so good.
It's been great. We're coming up on 18 years.
You moved here what year?
1983.
1983.
Yes.
But you didn't get into the pizza business. You got in the bagel business.
Exactly.
If people remember, your name is Bill Jacobs, right. Jacob Brothers Bagels.
Exactly.
Back in the day.
Yes.
All over Chicago.
So my brothers and I moved out to Chicago in 83, after I just graduated from college, and my brother Andy went to school with some friends at Brown, and we had the idea of going to the bagel business, and he discovered there were no bagels in downtown Chicago when we were looking for the right market, and that's how we arrived in Chicago, and we never left.
That's so cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That is.
And Chicago didn't have great bagels, so between 83 and 99, we made bagels, and then we sold the company in 99, and I always thought about bringing the style of pizza that we grew up eating to Chicago, because we could never find a great thin crust pizza.
So you started...
It is hard to find a good thin crust.
I'm trying to think when we met, because this is so Chicago, you're one person away. I was on the radio at WCKG doing nights, and the real world found out that the people working there were working at Peace Pizza.
Right.
And that's when we had you on the air. That's when we met. And then I found out that your partner is a friend of mine. We have a mutual friend, Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. That's right. Yep. I love the connection.
And he's the best partner.
So
when
did you open?
We opened July 27th, 2001.
So when did Real World go on the air? Real World Chicago.
It was that summer that they were filming.
Right.
So I think it aired in the fall. And the Real World Chicago was directly across the street in what became the health club.
Oh, yeah. Cheetah.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly. Oh, wow. Yes. So Karen Tanya worked at Peace for a short time and, brought a lot of media attention to Peace at that time.
I mean, that was huge.
It was huge. And that, yeah. I mean,
what a way to start your business. Oh, you're on national TV, local TV's there, and there's viewing parties at Peace Pizza.
Rick Nielsen. So.
And Rick Nielsen.
Yeah.
We open up our door, and restaurants hope for a soft opening, but we never had that luxury. So, we made a lot of mistakes. We corrected them. And everything is very good these days.
I mean, that happens along the way when you own a business, that you make mistakes.
Absolutely.
How do you realize that, oh my gosh, what have we been doing the last few years? When does it hit you?
Mm-hmm. What we do all the time is we analyze our operations, and we always try to make it better. But invariably people make mistakes. It happens in business.
Sure.
You just hope that you don't make the fatal mistake, you know?
Right.
So, you know, we've focused on making our product great, on service, on marketing, and bringing them all together. And employment. And employment is not something that should ever be taken lightly.
Right.
We still employ people who opened up the restaurant almost 18 years ago, and something that I'm very proud of.
Wow, is that great. Yeah. If people have never been into your restaurant, how would you describe it on North Avenue? Because it's such a wonderful vibe when you walk in.
It's an incredibly comfortable space. It's in a converted old garage, so it's got very high ceilings, a bow truss roof, a skylight that runs the length of the space, so it gets fantastic natural light.
Mm-hmm.
And it just lends itself to this concept. And, you know, it's pizza and beer. People feel great at
Let's talk about the beer.
Yeah.
I mean, besides pizza.
And the beer, which we brew, is some of the best beer in the country. We are the most award-winning brew pub in Chicago with 28 medals. We have Jonathan Cutler, who's been our fantastic brewer from day one, and he's recognized as one of the best brewers in the country.
All right, if you could only, you say two ingredients, right? Should be max. We were having this discussion earlier, too. I think I agree with that, too.
You could go three. You go three. We can't consider garlic a topping. Basil's light. You know, you could do basil.
No, basil's not a topping.
Basil's not a topping. Right.
If you guys could only pick two toppings, what would you pick?
I would go sausage, banana, peppers, because I love those two together.
Okay.
I do.
Classic.
Yeah.
And pepperoni, banana, peppers is a great combo.
Oh, that's good.
I also love bacon, onion. It's just
I do like olive. I would go sausage, green pepper.
Sausage, green pepper.
You know what's great, too, is a white pizza for vegetarians, white pizza with tomato and basil.
Now, we were talking earlier about tomato on your pizza. Sometimes when you go to pizza places, they put the tomato on there and it becomes too runny.
That's like exactly right. Tomato,
so how do you do it?
We don't really recommend putting sliced tomatoes on the red sauce pizza.
Yes.
Because it does. It adds...
Oh, so the white sauce is different.
That's right. The white sauce is an olive oil, garlic, pecorino romano base. So it's lighter. Could put sliced tomatoes. And tomatoes on a white pizza is fantastic.
Okay.
On a red pizza, it adds a little... it adds more moisture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little heavier.
Explain the white pizza to people.
So
they don't know what it is.
So it's without red sauce. So it's a base of olive oil and garlic. Very simple. And then it's topped with pecorino romano and mozzarella and then whatever
so
topping.
Good.
We always finish a pie with oregano and a splash of extra virgin olive oil.
I love it. I love it. I would put oregano on everything. I know that's the Greek in me. I put oregano
love
on steak.
Oregano.
I
love it. Yes, definitely. It's so funny that everybody in Chicago is so opinionated about their pizzas.
It's
and
true.
Their
oh, my God.
Yes, it's so true.
And it could be divisive.
Oh, absolutely.
It could be divisive.
Why the divisiveness about the... So I like is the ham or the Canadian bacon and pineapple. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have that more than maybe once a year. I do enjoy it. But people get so angry at the thought of that.
About
why?
Fruit on your pizza.
Right. Oh, is that why?
We don't put pineapple on our pizza. And we are a ranch-free zone. So you can't have ranch dressing with our pizza. You're going to have to go to Chuck E. Cheese.
No ranch at Peace Pizza.
Ranch-free zone.
Oh, my God. Is that funny?
That is funny.
What about the people that call pizza pie? Because I get yelled at. I call it pie all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just grew up that way.
Yeah.
You know, what do you like on your pie?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's shaped like a pie. It's what it is.
Right.
It's a pizza pie.
It's a pizza pie.
I think a lot of New Yorkers say pie.
Yeah.
And they think their pizza's better than ours, which is hilarious to me. I mean, I have friends from New York and New Jersey, and they just insist that their pizza's better than Chicago. And I just have to say they're wrong.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story. Dusty Baker, when he was managing the Cubs, stopped in at Peace, and he had a Glenlivet on the rocks as he waited for his pizza, and I referred to it as pie. And he said, "What do you call it, pie?"
he had no idea.
It's pizza pie. That's what we call it. Yeah. In New Haven, we call it Abizz, which is APIZZA. If you get to New Haven, you're going to see Abizz rather than pizza. And that's Italian for pizza.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Abizz. Wow.
Yeah.
Bill Jacobs in studio. I'm going to take a break. Thank you for running down the street, by the way. I am so
sweaty. I got to take a shower now.
I am so sorry you went to the old studio.
It's not your fault.
They're making that into a hotel.
You know, you gave me the address, but I thought it was the address for the garage, which because I used to take the
303. We're at 303 Wacker. Wacker in Columbus.
Yep. Yeah. My mistake.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So I didn't screw this one up.
You did not.
Oh, thank
absolutely
God.
Not.
You're all good.
No,
all right.
But I would let you know if you did.
And did you bring pizza?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Not only did I bring pizza, I brought two pizzas. I brought Joe Flom's pizza. Joe Flom, winner
Wait,
of
save
Top
it?
Chef.
And, save it? Save it. We're going to talk about that next.
I'm saving it. Okay.
We're going to talk about your specialty pizzas right. because okay. it's just crazy. All Bill right. Jacobs here from Peace Pizza. What's the website? Is it Peace
it's
Pizza?
It's peacechicago.com.
Peacechicago.com.
And that's Instagram and Facebook. So go there.
Love it. All right. It's 720 WGN. Boy, can you smell that?
Oh, God,
that
yeah.
smells fantastic.
It sure does.
Tomorrow is National Pizza Day. In studio with us, the owner of Peace Pizza in Wicker Park. It is Bill Jacobs. What kind of pies did you bring in tonight?
So we have two here. One is the red pizza with banana peppers and pepperoni. A
banana
classic combination that we were
pepperoni.
Just talking about.
Yep.
Great combo.
Okay.
And the other one is Chef Joe Flom's pizza. And Joe is the winner of Top Chef, and he's executive chef.
He just won
chef.
Top Chef. He was at...
He's at Spiaggia.
Spiaggia.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And he's fantastic. He created this pizza. He's from Berwyn, and it's a South... He calls it the South Side Special. So it is our red pizza with fresh mozzarella, some shredded mozzarella, tempesta sausage, some and jardinera. I don't want to forget that.
Oh yeah,
you know, that makes it that makes it South Side.
Oh my Completely. Gosh, is that
yes.
great?
Oh yeah, that's yeah. yeah. Those are my
how
people.
Do you how do you come up with? I'd love to be at a meeting at Peace. Okay,
yeah, come and join us.
Let's sample
We'd
some new beer. You. Let's yes. sample some new pizza. How do you come up with these specialty pizzas? Like you've done hot dog a few
right.
times.
Yes,
who's a good
so,
friend
so
of yours?
Sorry, so part of the, this program with the chefs is benefits Pilot Light Chefs. And that's
of course
a
you work it into a charity. Of course,
exactly.
that
yeah.
is so Bill Jacobs.
10% of sales yep. goes to Pilot Light. We have they've received over $36,000 from this program. We're very proud of that. It's a program that was started first with Honey Butter Fried Chicken with Josh Culp and Christine Sikowski. I called them up one day. I contacted them because they're friends. And I said, "Hey, how about we put your chicken on the pizza?" And they're like. Like, hell yeah. And that's where it started. And I said, let's make this a charity, a charitable endeavor. Oh, and yeah. they chose Pilot Light. And Pilot Light's great. They go into the public schools with a curriculum on food and nutrition. And they teach them about food. And they cook with them.
Can I just give you some awesome. Props? Because I've known you for almost 20 years. Right when you opened your place, I yep. met you. This is so you.
Thank
because
you,
you're
man.
Such a Chicago guy, but you want to give back to the community. You have such a great pizza place, but you think, okay, how can I make the pizza better, but give the charity?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have to. We're fortunate to be in this community, in this great city, and it's what we do. We have to give back.
And I love the camaraderie. I see this all the time. And Pete, I'm sure you do too, as do you. Just when you were just talking about Honey Butter Fried Chicken, another awesome Chicago
right,
Northside
right,
place.
Yeah.
And you guys partner together. I love the, I guess, the camaraderie of
Absolutely.
All the chefs and all the restaurant owners. And everyone always comes together for a good cause.
Yeah.
You know, and then in the name of bringing two great
people
foods
get it.
Together.
Right. People get it. And it's also true with my comrades in the pizza business. You know, you've got Dave over at Coalfire and Derek at Pauly G's. You know, these guys are great and they're doing great things. Derek contacted me a week ago and he said, "Hey, I want to get pizza to the homeless during the cold weather." I'm like, "Absolutely, count us in."
Me? Wow, is that
so,
great?
So, you know, kudos to him, kudos to them. You know, everyone's doing good, great things. You know, my friend up at Jonathan at Spaconopoly is just doing an incredible job. And everyone's friends, you know.
I love
We're all
that.
Friendly and it's a great community and we're all
the out radio business is completely
doing,
different.
Doing,
oh
we
my
hate
God,
each
I know.
Other.
I know.
You work at
it's
another station,
right,
you're
it?
Dead to
so
me.
Cut
the right.
It is. It's
Same
so
with
true.
TV.
Oh my God, I know.
Same
I
with television.
This, I love this happiness. God, such a good feeling.
I have the beer right here. What am I drinking here?
You're drinking the Weight, which is...
Oh, wow. Citrus. I can smell it.
Can you smell that? That won gold at the World Beer Cup.
Oh, my God. Is this fantastic.
It's also a silver medal winner at the Great American Beer Festival. So also keep in mind that that's an American Pale Ale, which is one of the most, the third most competitive category at these competitions, at the World Beer Cup. It had 121 entries, and we took gold. So, you know, it is clearly one of the best.
How do you come American up with a beer like this that smells great, that tastes fantastic, and it's light? With craft beers, sometimes they're too heavy.
Absolutely. Which could be dangerous, you know.
Right.
If, depending on the ABV, this ABV is 6%, so you could drink this and not worry about it. But Jonathan,
this is 6%.
Yes.
A normal beer, like a domestic beer, is what, 1.5?
I don't know what it is.
2 maybe?
Maybe more, but
I'm drinking 6%.
It's not.
I may be half in the bag before we go into the next commercial.
We got 25 more minutes.
Wow.
Hang in there, man.
Cut them off.
Right. Definitely.
Oh, that's so cool.
You've had the same brewmaster, did you say that earlier?
Yes.
Since the beginning.
Since the beginning. Jonathan Cutler.
That says something about you when you still have the same people working for you for 20 years.
It's one of the things I'm most proud of. You know, and I'm also proud of the fact that we're now providing our people with benefits, with good health care. Significant health care. They have the same health care that that I have, and I'm very proud of that. And my good friend and the person who I call my CEO, Patty Buckland, really led the charge and put that together. And then it's meaningful. It's meaningful
to
everyone. It's meaningful to me as an employer.
Have you been asked, I'm sure you have, to expand other states?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I had someone contact me asking if we wanted to go into New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to go into New York City, but not to do business. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Someone said tonight, you should have a few more of these places. Well, yeah, well, that would be a few more challenges and
exactly.
problems. You know?
Yeah.
And that it really is a question that I get often. How come you haven't done more?
But that's got to make you feel good.
It makes me feel great.
Yeah.
But I'm also proud of the fact that we've stayed focused on this operation. I think that's clearly one of the reasons why.
But usually people want to cash in and franchise.
Right.
And you haven't done that.
Right.
I'm sure you've been asked a thousand times.
That's part of your success.
Without question. And of course, it's part of my experience in the bagel business when we had a number of places. And, you know, there were many challenges and not knowing all my employees and not something I felt great about. And we did some great things with Jacobs Brothers. But having one place is really a nice feeling, and I know everyone. I know my customers, and
sure.
It's a great thing.
I love it.
Yeah. By the way, you've come full circle. You have Bro Bagel now, right next to Peace.
Exactly. So 4 years ago, I went back into the bagel business because I had the good fortune of buying the building, and I had a tenant in there, and they wanted out early. I'm like, absolutely. Had the idea of bringing the bagels back. You know, we had been out of the business for a whole bunch of years since '99, and brought them back, and the bagels are fantastic, and it's nice to be back in the business.
Is it Bro because of your brothers?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And they're involved whenever I have any questions, we get together and talk about
it. Or you're at a baseball game together with your brothers. I feel like you're carrying those guys.
Don't tell them. My brothers are fantastic. They're the best. Yeah. And I love them.
But I'm always with my brothers when I run into you and your brothers.
How many brothers do you have?
I have seven brothers.
Seven brothers.
What do you have?
And you guys all look alike.
You have three.
I have three brothers.
Right.
Yeah.
There's four boys.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you have a big family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
We're close in age, you know, 15 and 16 months apart.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You guys could do a charity basketball team or basketball game with your brothers. Well, you'd have a lot on your bench.
We'd rather sit around and eat pizza and beer.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll join you.
So tomorrow, big day at Peace.
Huge day. National Pizza Day. Come on in. Eat pizza.
Do it. Why
drink
not?
Beer.
It's Chicago.
Celebrate.
And again, for people listening, three toppings. That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing
two to
more.
Three toppings.
Yeah. Two to three.
We don't necessarily encourage three toppings, but if you want to do three, do three. But don't do more than that, you know? And we like to say less is more.
That's too bad.
That hit me about 4 years ago because I'll never forget this. I sent you a text. I was out of town. I don't know where I was. And my son was building his own pizza at this dumpy pizza place. I think we were in northern Wisconsin. And I sent you a text. I go, how many toppings is too many? And you said three. I mean, you lightning fast.
Right.
Anything more, you're ruining your pizza.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to get cooked.
It's
is
not going to get cooked. It's going
like
to be heavy.
It's like a salad on top of it.
It's not deep dish. You know, deep dish, the crust can support that.
Right.
Ours, it really can't.
Deep dish is like a casserole.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It really
exactly
is.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
John Stewart.
Oh, is that what he says?
Yes, he does, doesn't he? Do you like your pizza well done? the crust.
I like it a little well done. Yeah,
yeah,
I like it. Me too. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, enjoy these pies. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Are you going out tonight? What happens?
Oh yeah, this my night's just beginning.
Right?
No.
You've already exercised running from the old Tribune Tower over here.
Yeah.
Bill Jacobs again. Peace Chicago. They can follow you all over social media.
Yep. 1927 West North Avenue.
And happy National Pizza Day tomorrow.
Happy National Pizza Day to you.
All right. It's 720 WGN. WGN, Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Chowing down on Peace Pizza. Thursday is Valentine's Day. Here's a question for you guys listening. You can text us or call me. I want to hear your voice. 312-981-7200. Do you celebrate Valentine's Day with your spouse? Girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, right. Do you celebrate? Do you celebrate?
I do. I like. Well, this will be weird. This is the first year I'm working a night shift.
Okay.
I did mornings for so many years, so now I'm working night. So I'm debating taking the night off, going back and forth. But bottom line, I would say yes.
Do you dinner? Do you do gifts? What do you do?
You both.
Because I don't think a lot of people do.
Really?
I don't think a lot of people celebrate Valentine's Day.
I'd say if we got four calls,
I would say three would say no.
I like Valentine's Day. I think it's a nice time of the year to say I love you and get a present. I mean, give a present.
I think there's a double standard there. 312-981-7200. Do you celebrate Valentine's Day? I feel like...
Do you?
I do, okay. But I don't expect anything from my wife. I don't think she's going to get me anything. And if I don't get her something, I'm frowned upon.
Okay.
Not just from her, from all her friends and everybody she works with.
But she'll get you something, right?
No.
Come on.
Maybe a card.
No.
Maybe.
Your wife will get you something little.
No. We've been married 17 years.
But that doesn't matter.
I know.
The love is still there.
The
passion is still there.
Well... Kids kind of get in the way and work. We're both working. I don't think a lot of people celebrate.
I'd be curious to see what the answer is. I would hope they would.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. By the way, there's some great gifts out there for Valentine's Day. Have you seen the beef jerky bouquet?
No, but I would love that.
It's $25 and you can send a bouquet of beef jerky.
Is it the stick jerky or is it the slices?
It is the stick jerky, but they cut it, so it kind of fans out.
Does
that make sense?
I love beef jerky.
Let
me just say this. If I got that as a gift, I would be grateful, but I want something a little sweeter. Some flowers.
Are you a chocolate person?
Oh, yeah, I love chocolate. Yeah.
That's not my thing.
Well, then beef jerky would be perfect for you.
I want a pair of pants or a shirt for Valentine's Day.
Oh, you want an actual bigger ticket item than just the flowers and the candy.
Well, if I'm throwing down flowers, which I'll have to do on Valentine's Day...
don't buy them on the day of, because they jack the prices way up.
But if you get them delivered, it's going to be huge.
Don't have them delivered either.
So
it's like $75 as opposed to $25.
So do I go to Costco and buy it? Okay, that's still okay.
That's fine.
That's fine.
I don't care where they're from.
But just get the flowers.
For me. Yeah, she won't care where they're from. Just get the flowers.
Okay. I got it.
I think.
Cindy, where are you calling from?
I am in Schererville, Indiana.
Schererville, Indiana. Are you celebrating Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
You are?
Yes.
How are you celebrating? What are you going to be doing?
Well, we'll probably celebrate it after the holiday, not before, because... my boyfriend works during the week, so he's gone all week. But I do have to tell you that I was previously married, and Valentine's Day was a big day for both of us. And we had this little thing where it was kind of, can you beat what I did last year?
Uh-oh.
And the first Valentine's Day that we had together, we had I had the day off, so I... filled the room up with balloons and put heart shapes all over the bed. And
oh my gosh!
Made a heart shape of balloons over the bed, and then I took streamers and streamed them from the ceiling and made little cutouts of hearts that said,
"What?
I love you and you're a cutie," and all sorts of stuff like that. And then when he came home, he would see it, and that was our first Valentine's Day.
Cindy, I want to celebrate Valentine's Day with you.
How do you top that? How do you top something like that every single year?
That's so sweet.
It was fabulous. And then the following year, we were on a shoestring budget, too, so we had to do it for under $20. So the following year, we were a little more flush, so I sent to work where he worked at. I bought these really cute things that he liked, like the salt and pepper shakers that he liked, and I had them all packaged up in a big box, and then I had balloons inside the box so that when you lifted the top of the box off,
balloons
would trail up, and there was flowers and candy and stuff in there. And he would do things for me like that, too.
Texting you my address.
So this was your previous husband?
Yes. Yeah, but, I mean, it lasted, you know, they were always great things. Like, he would make me handmade,
How come the marriage is over? What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we were married for, like, 27 years, and...
Year 18, we decided not to celebrate Valentine's Day anymore.
No, some things just happen in a marriage, and they went really south.
Yeah.
It sounds so romantic and cute with all the balloons and the rose petals.
You know what? It was. You get married because you're in love, and we were really in love. But now I have this really wonderful man who treats me like I have never been treated in my life.
Good
and
for you.
This year, I can't wait to celebrate, for Valentine's Day with him because, I get to be creative and do things and, just splurge in your own.
Can I have you call my wife? Can you call her this weekend? Give her some pointers?
But see, that's the best part about it is that I love doing things like that, though. That's the best part about it.
Again, can I have you call my wife?
I think it's adorable. I think you should do something that's big time what Cindy did. But
right.
I love that.
Yeah. Boy. I mean, we just did great. But I've always been, I do things like that for my other family members. It wasn't just him, but simple things, but grand gestures that don't cost a lot, I think are just the best things.
You're
ever.
Right. And we all get caught up in life and we just forget about it. Cindy, you're the best. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Have a good Valentine's Day.
Bye,
you
Cindy.
Too.
Happy
wow.
Valentine's
does she
Day.
Celebrate?
See,
I mean,
I
that's
think,
serious.
Yeah, that's serious celebrating, but you have to do something. I have to do something.
Of course I'm going to do something, but I'm not going to put streamers in the room. But,
or rose petals on the bed.
But why not?
Well, Raj, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, guys. By the way, you got to do something.
Well, 43
years. 43
years. We're going out to dinner.
Okay.
Your wife will do something, I'm telling
She'll
you.
She'll get flowers. I'll go to Costco during the day.
No, your wife will do something, though, for you.
No.
Something you don't expect.
Yes.
And that's what keeps the marriage going.
Yeah,
thank God for Amazon, or I wouldn't have any gifts.
Do you have a wish list?
What I've learned about my wife is she hates the errand. She hates stopping and doing things, like stopping to get gas. She'll drive on fumes because she just doesn't like to pull over. It's an errand to her. So in her mind, stopping to get a gift for Valentine's Day is an errand. But thank God for Amazon.
Online shopping.
Oh, okay.
Go.
I got
they
it.
Can right to
deliver.
The door. Yep.
Raj, what are you doing?
Well, we have the triple threat as usual, 43 years of this. It starts on January 14th with Valentine's Day. February 14th.
Yep.
February 18th, Bridget's birthday, and February 21st will be our 43rd anniversary.
Oh, jeez.
So do you do something
every
day?
No, gosh, no. Not one. No. Three separate things.
Really?
Yeah. And I already...
I try to consolidate.
No. No. Not if I value my life. No.
Yeah, because there's enough days in between.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's all on the same day, then you can consolidate.
Right. But so it's between then and Christmas. So I've got time. You know what I'm saying? There's no other... celebrations.
Well, you got to plan ahead.
Well, exactly.
Okay.
So I went to my favorite place under the guise of having to leave early to pick up the grandkids from school because I had to, get gas or something. And so I left early, stopped at my favorite place, and picked up three separate things. based on the kind of day it is. In other words, for the birthday, it has to be a serious gift. For Valentine's Day, not so serious, but still cute.
Okay.
You guys have a lot of rules. Wow,
I know. There's a lot going on here.
And then for anniversary, way serious.
Jeez.
You mean serious, like expensive?
No.
Can you just Venmo some cash?
More meaningful.
Here's a 20. I love you.
Here, I'll quick pay you $100.
25. It's been 43 years. Yeah.
Someone from the 773 said, tell Cindy she should start that as a business.
That's a great idea.
I know.
Come and decorate my house. Here's, $100.
God, I would do that.
That would be cool.
Right?
Boy, that's a great idea. Yeah. Monetize that, Cindy, if you're listening. We have Danny on the line. Danny, are you celebrating Valentine's Day?
Okay, let's be 100% clear on this. These guys, Roger, I understand what he's saying. That he brought up some good points. But let's not forget, Valentine's Day is more for the woman in the relationship, not the man. You know, women get shortchanged a lot when it comes to their birthdays, Christmas.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day, you got to do something special. And it's not about the balloons on the bed or anything like that. Here's what it's about after being married for 12 years, 10 years. It's about understanding your woman. And if she wants, surprise her, wash her car at the car wash, fill her tank up with gas, and put a little card in her car that says, I love you more than anything. You know, get her something special like that. The little things what women want. It's not about expensive gifts. That's not what Valentine's Day is about.
You're right.
It really isn't. And taking your wife out to dinner, that's a nice romantic dinner.
He does have a great point. I know women love expensive gifts, but that is a great idea because my wife hates getting her car washed. She hates stopping for gas. You're right. But I feel like I do that on a regular basis.
Getting the car wash, leaving a nice little note, filling the tank up with gas, and then when she gets in the car, she opens up the Tiffany box, which is sitting on the passenger seat.
You see, listen, I understand what you just said about the Tiffany box, but let me tell you this, and I mean this wholeheartedly for all the men out there who are listening. My wife works, she's a hairdresser, and my wife, every Saturday, like clockwork, I swear to God, I go to Starbucks on my way to work, and I'll get her a Starbucks coffee because she's standing on her feet all day. And I'll get her a little Starbucks, and I'll put from the newspaper the Love Is from Sun-Times. And I'll take it. Hand to God. I'll cut it out. I'll put it on a piece of paper with a little note. And I leave it on her table where she's cutting hair, and I walk out of the store. And you know what? Guys might think, oh, that's pretty sappy, or maybe he's going overboard. I do it because I know my wife loves it, and that's why I do it.
I think Damn, that's adorable, Danny.
When I see you, I'm going to punch you in the neck, but thank you for calling. I feel like I need to step up my game when I talk
that's
to
fantastic.
Danny. Fantastic. Damn him. Wow. 312-981-7200. You know what? Let me take a quick break, and we'll take some more calls coming up next. 720 WGN. We're talking about Valentine's Day. Do you celebrate? Doc, you're calling from Missouri. Is that right?
That is correct.
All right. Well, what part of Missouri?
I'm on my way to St. Louis. I just passed Concordia. I'm about an hour east of Kansas City right now.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. I'll be listening all the way till 5 in the morning.
I love it, brother. All right. Valentine's Day.
All right. We are in our 60s. I've been married 23 years. I've been doing this for 30. I send my wife Valentine's from all over the country, from towns that have a romantic-sounding name. For instance, Valentine, Nebraska, Valentine's, Texas, Loveland, Colorado.
Wow.
You take your Valentine, address it, put it in another envelope, mail it to the postmaster of the city that you want it to be mailed from. Aww. Then on the bottom you write Valentine's remailing. And then in the case, I might, you know, also be sending, say, 4 or 5 from Valentine, Nebraska. They'd all go in the same envelope, maybe one to my grandmother, one to my mom, whatever. So they will open up that envelope. These towns have special postmarks.
Sure, I'm sure.
Valentine's. In the case of Loveland, Colorado, somebody writes a new 4-line poem every year. They make a whole bunch of stamps. Senior citizens volunteer their time and go in and hand cancel 300,000.
I feel like you're talking directly to me, like I need to step up my game. But
so
a
cool.
cynic would say it's too much work, but it reminds us that we all need to step up our game.
That's right.
We do.
One thing about this is you don't have to buy the most expensive cards.
No.
Because that's not the point. I usually adorn them with a variety of stickers. And if your wife still works, they're all going to get flowers. But your lady is going to get cards over several days. So oh, she's going to get the most attention because everybody's going to be coming by. God, did you get some more? Where's this one from?
That is a great idea. I get it, Doc. I get it. Thank you, Doc. Thank you for your call. Drive safe. Let's go to Greg in Beverly. Greg, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, for years, we have a winery down here in Beverly, and we have couples come in to make their own wine on Valentine's Day, and we've had couples doing it for years, and they, you know, then they have vintages going back for all these different wines they made. And
where is it? You're kidding.
Yeah, we're in North Beverly on 91st Street. And we're actually a meadery. We make honey wine, and we also teach winemaking, and we have a big winemaking party.
What's the name of the place?
Yeah.
Oh, Wild Blossom Meadery and Winery.
Oh, I know where you are. I grew up around that area.
Yeah, we're right up off the 91st Street train station.
I know where that is.
And we have a great winemaking party, and the couples get in the vats and stomp grapes together. They don't make wine with the stomp grapes, but they have a lot of fun, and it's great.
I like that.
That's a great idea.
Thank you, Greg. That's a fantastic idea.
Oh, yeah. I love that going out to dinner, area,
go
too.
Make, yeah, that's not
that's
too
really
far.
Cute in Beverly.
Let's do one more. Ellen, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi.
What do you do for Valentine's Day?
Well, here's the thing. A long time ago, well, I don't know, probably about 10 years ago, my brother and I, neither of us were romantically connected to anyone, so we turned Valentine's Day into a new holiday that we call Be Kind to Your Sibling Day. And we spent time together with our brothers and sisters, and now we continue to do that. So every year on Valentine's Day, instead of worrying about our significant other, we worry about our brothers and sisters.
But what happens to your significant other on Valentine's Day? Do they get the shaft?
Well, we still do the Valentine's Day thing with our significant other because we're both married now.
Right.
But back in the day, we weren't connected to anyone, and we thought, you know what? Somebody has to take care of us too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. You're taking care of each other.
It's a
I like that.
I love that idea.
I need to step up my game this week. I
gotta. You're okay. You're going along the right path.
Yeah, though. But Costco flowers. I gotta do a little more than that.
I love the mailing of the cards, and then Ellen's idea is great too.
Yes. All right. It's 720 WGN.